In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Food security is what everybody was always focused on in our world. Food security all the time, in every situation. It's what drove all the decisions of people. And it was really no different for my family either. And so famines were moments that really marked the character of our family throughout the generations. It started with my great-great-grandfather Abraham, shortly after he had left the safety, the security of all the food and luxuries of the Babylonian Empire and wandered with the Lord as a shepherd. Famine had struck. My great-great-grandfather's faith was tested. And he had gone down to Egypt, you may remember. And there it had been a disaster. He had almost lost his whole relationship with his wife, Sarah. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I know that their relationship was never the same. And then also in Egypt, he had almost compromised everything that he had done as he had followed the Lord. But he had escaped, just barely. Then my great-grandfather, Isaac, he and his family had faced a famine as well. But my great-grandfather, Isaac, had learned from my great-great-grandfather, Abraham. And when the famine struck, he did not wander down to Egypt. He remembered the disaster it had been for Abraham. And so he stayed put. But my great-grandfather had twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Jacob, my grandfather. But Esau, he had been so consumed with food security as well. Even before the famine struck, he had sold his birthright to his brother, my grandfather, Jacob, for a bowl of soup. Everyone acted based on their stomachs. And Esau was just a grand example of that. People did whatever they thought could get them to have food for tomorrow, even food for today. Esau compromised it all. He sold the entire birthright to my grandfather. So then my grandfather Jacob, just like his forefathers before him, famine struck. Food security was suddenly in question. My grandfather wanted to stay steadfast. And so instead of going and taking the family to move down to Egypt, as his grandfather before him, Abraham, had done, he decided he would just send his boys. He'd send his boys to get food and bring it back to us up in the land. He thought that couldn't possibly derail their faithfulness to what God had called them to be. So his sons went down to Egypt. But what my grandfather never anticipated was what his boys would find in Egypt. His son, Joseph, who he thought was dead, somehow was in power in Egypt. And not just in power, he was basically running the whole show for Pharaoh. Our own family member had basically the most power of anyone in the entire world at the time. This, my grandfather could have never anticipated. And on top of this, Joseph had created a soft spot in my grandfather's heart. My grandfather, it was clear to everybody who ever knew him, my grandfather loved Joseph more than anybody else in his family. He constantly compromised the goodwill of the rest of the people in his family in order to do what he thought Joseph wanted. And that's what had caused Joseph, we thought, in the first place, to be killed. Even though my grandfather thought that Joseph had been killed out in an accident in the wilderness, my dad's brothers knew better. They knew that they had been responsible. They were jealous of the way that Jacob, my grandfather, just constantly put Joseph above everybody else. And so they threw him in a pit, pretended like he had been killed, and sold him as a slave into Egypt. They never thought that Joseph would be seen again, much less that when they got down to Egypt, he would be arguably the single most powerful person in the entire world. And so my grandfather, his favorite son, his favorite person in the entire world, is now sitting on the throne over everything. He told his boys the reason they were going down to Egypt was because he had a dream. He said God spoke to him in this dream, that it was okay now, that suddenly God had changed course, and now it was perfectly fine to go down to Egypt because Joseph was in charge. He couldn't stand not moving down to be with his son, and his son was in power. It was a perfect situation. So my grandfather packed up and he moved down to Egypt. And after my grandfather died of sickness in Egypt, I was told by my dad about a conversation that Joseph had with the rest of his brothers. He gathered the whole family together. The family was a little bit anxious that now that my grandfather was dead, it would all fall apart. But Joseph called them together and he gave them a promise. He told all my uncles, he said, I will provide for you. And hey, this is God's plan. He wants this. So settle with me in Egypt. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. You'll have all the food security you ever wanted. Things will be great. We'll live like kings. And under that promise, my dad and all my uncles moved our entire family permanently to Egypt. All because of food security. I could tell as I grew up that my dad was never really comfortable with our presence in Egypt. The way he started to tell me our family stories, I could notice the nuance, the difference in the way he told those stories. He really focused on the story of my great-great-grandfather, Abraham, almost sacrificing my great-grandfather, Isaac, on an altar, on a mountain that Abraham would come to call the Lord will provide. My dad stressed this story, because he believed that Abraham that day, my great-great-grandfather, that he overcame the great test. The test to put family and security of any kind in front of the Lord. So my dad lifted that story up as the great example he wanted me to learn from. And so as he told me about my grandfather in his story, you could see the big difference. My dad was heartbroken at what my grandfather had done. He had done the opposite of my great-great-grandfather Abraham. He had put Joseph in front of everything. Joseph was the reason that my grandfather made the fateful decision for our whole family to move to Egypt. My dad saw that as the exact opposite of what Abraham had done with Isaac. Abraham was willing to say, God, I will serve you at the expense of anyone. But Jacob, as soon as Joseph was back in his life, he compromised everything. And the way my dad even talked about what he saw in Egypt once we moved down there was haunting to me. It seemed like the people loved Joseph, that even most of my uncles came to love Joseph because he had saved the family. But my dad told me about what happened behind the scenes, about how Joseph had taken literally the money of every person in the land of Egypt, the money of every person who came to Egypt for help. He took every last dime. And then when they had no more money, Joseph took every animal. We came to Egypt as shepherds, people who lived off of our relationship with our flocks. And Joseph gathered up every animal. They now all belonged to Egypt if you wanted to eat. Oh, and then Joseph didn't stop there. Joseph then, when people ran out of animals, said, "The land that you live on now belongs to the Egyptian Empire." Every single tract of land was swallowed up. And the crazy thing my dad told me, the people praised Joseph. They called him a savior. They said he had saved the world. Oh, they praised him like a god. And my dad thought that Joseph really did see himself as a god. And these people, they saw Joseph as a savior, but my dad said, "Can you see it, son? They've sold themselves as slaves to this system that Joseph is creating. So many promises of security and safety that Joseph is giving them. But at what cost? At what cost, son?" My dad was convinced before any of the rest of my uncles, my dad was convinced we were slaves. We weren't living like kings in Egypt. We were slaves to the promises of Joseph. He told us, "I'll provide. Give me everything and I'll take care of you." And my dad kept asking me, "What about God? Our great-great-grandfather left everything. Abraham left everything to wander with God, to be provided for by God. Where is he now?" An afterthought, well, more of a slogan, because Joseph would beat the slogan. He was representing God. He was doing this because God gave him the power. "In God we trust," Joseph was telling us. My dad insisted, "We're not trusting in God, we're trusting in Joseph. We're trusting in the empire of Egypt. We're slaves." Most of my family still thinks that we have it great. The security that Egypt gives us right now, it feels like the answer of everything they want. It's everything they've been pursuing. But my dad, I think he's right. There's a slavery that's really going on behind the scenes. And he's hoping that my eyes will be continued to be open to that reality. And I'm hoping that you guys can see that as well. That we may live like kings in many ways, but at what cost? At whose cost? Who is suffering for our good life? Maybe we're not as free as we think we are. Maybe there's a deep, profound slavery trembling beneath the surface. I hope I don't get too comfortable. I hope I can continue to be challenged to trust in God. I remember the stories of my forefathers, and I hope I can learn from them. I hope I can follow in their footsteps when they made the right choices. I think there's a better answer than trusting in the slavery of the empire. Trusting in God is scary, but I think it's where the true freedom lies. I think we can be free. Let's step out in faith. Others have done it before us. God will be there to catch us. Amen.